This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/cast.
What sort of future do you think we're heading for? How will we live as we slip into the 21st century?
Welcome to Forecast, episode 26. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Scott Johnson.
And it is time once again to start predicting the future with a couple of new guests this week.
Yeah, we love having nude guests. I'm thrilled to have
nude. I'm sorry, new guests.
Oh, new. I'm sorry. Well,
although they are a couple and we are on just audio, so it's up to them.
Honey, get your clothes on.
Put my pants right back on.
Mark Spagnuolo, host of the Wood Whisperer podcast. Welcome to Forecast.
Oh, pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you and your lovely wife, Nicole Spagnuolo, host of Ladies of Leet and the Movielicious.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Scott.
Hey.
Now,
hey.
This is the first couple we have had, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, Eric and Brian, I wonder about sometimes.
I was just going to say, what about those
Leo Laporte and Jim Louderback? There have been rumors, but nothing's ever been proven.
Yeah, the Leo Louderback connection has never been proven. But yeah, it's great. It's great to have somebody on who's not, not married. Like, it's kind of cool to have a couple for once. And I think we'll get interesting future predictions out of people who are tied together in such a way.
Are you going to cause us to fight?
Yeah, I was going to say, or we'll just fight about every topic the whole way through. So.
Right.
One way or another, it should be interesting.
Yeah, it's good radio. We're hoping that's what this whole thing breaks down into.
Now, Mark, we'll give you a chance to plug, obviously, at the end of every episode. You guys are on for the next three episodes. But the Wood Whisperer, pretty cool podcast, in my opinion, because it's not about technology or movies or, you know, any of the stuff that me and Scott do all the time. It's about actually making stuff.
Yeah, it's about woodworking, of course. And, you know, the interesting thing, though, is I get to watch the guys who are on the cusp of this stuff, the tech guys and what you guys do in your use of the technology. And then I just steal all the stuff and do it in the woodworking world. And they think I'm like this revolutionary kind of person. And I'm just copying what everyone else is doing.
Freaking Einstein Spagnuolo over there.
Yeah. But we do a lot of woodworking, interactive. You know, it's basically the next best thing to going and taking a class in person, but making full use of all the technology, Ustream and everything that's out there to get these woodworking lessons across to people. So it's a lot of fun.
And Nicole, you do my favorite movie podcast on the internet with Patrick Beja and Terpster, The Movielicious.
Be careful. Your host is going to get upset with you.
No, FilmSack is different, right? They're complimentary. Yeah. When I say favorite movie podcast, I mean current movies.
Yes. Yeah. We deal with all the current movies. Not so current sometimes because France is really behind on releasing movies.
On so many things.
So yeah, Movielicious is with Patrick and Terpster. It's a lot of fun.
I cut you off earlier, Scott, and then I insulted your podcast, so I feel like I should give you a chance to talk now.
He's crying right now.
I just wanted to throw my complimentary hat into the ring about the Wood Whisperer for this reason. It is 18th century technology, really, that he's covering. Mm-hmm. With a lot of current 21st century tools, but the it's a little embarrassing for most other video shows out there on the web, because when they watch your show, the quality sort of production value that you sort of integrate into your show makes everybody else look like crap. So you have any like words of advice for other videographers out there trying to make good content on the web? Because your stuff looks really, really pristine.
I guess I'm just a little bit of a videophile, just as a little bit of a tech nerd as well. So, you know, I'm big into HD and I put a lot of effort into just making sure that my podcast looks as good as something I would want to watch. It just happens to be about woodworking. So I guess really just do a little basic research on photography and lighting. You can do a lot with just white balance and making sure you have consistent lighting in your area that you're filming. You could work wonders with that. And even with a basic, you know, consumer grade camera, you could do quite a bit with it. So, I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I was making videos of that quality level back when I was just working with a basic iMovie and a little JVC, you know, Handycam dealy whacker. It just really comes down to some basic lighting techniques and white balance.
Wow. Well, there you go, Tom.
Half the battle.
Cast on NHD. That's what's next for us.
Half the battle is caring, is what Mark is what I pulled away from.
And
that.
You should give props to Izzy.
Oh yeah, I should mention Izzy. There is a great website out there about filming and also editing and things like that. But izzyvideo.com. He's a good friend of ours in Arizona.
He's
actually
really the one that helped.
He even helped me start our membership site. We do have a paid membership portion of our website, and he was very helpful in getting giving me advice to start that as well. But great video tutorials at izzyvideo.com.
All right. Well, let's move on to the predicting. We're going to start with a blog posting. We have people emailing us. We got people posting on our blog. This person says, I predict that within the next 50 years, all domain names will be used up. I also predict that we will have ear implants so that when the neighbor's dog barks all damn night long, we will be able to turn the volume down enough so that we can sleep in peace. Bark, 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 bark. Tomorrow night, I'm setting that thing free.
Oh, man.
Overweight, knee-kicking moose.
That's the most passive-aggressive feedback we've gotten, I think.
It went real personal, real quick.
Yeah, for sure.
I found that quite entertaining. I like that he's like got this broad-reaching, you know, 50 years, all domain names will be used up, and then went really local.
Well, you know, back on the ear implant thing, I actually think Nicole might have that installed now, and it's tuned to ignore the frequency of my voice.
Well, yeah.
Most times.
And
I mean,
so it begins.
I just can zone people out. I don't know what it is. When I'm on a task, I can just zone you out, honey. You should take that as a compliment.
Oh, wonderful.
Send us your predictions. Email forecastpodcast@gmail.com or post them up in the comments on our blog, forecastpodcast.com. This is now the episode where we do the short-term predicting, right, Scott?
Yeah, this is the short stuff, the near-term stuff, the 5, 10, the 15, maybe even the 20 years from now. Pretty easy stuff to kind of wrap your head around. Maybe not so crazy. Let's start with Nicole, ladies first. Nicole, oh, yeah. Where do you land on short-term predictions? I can't wait to hear.
I just want to say that Mark has notes, so...
I'm a professional. I mean, this is what I do.
He told me that he was preparing and you were going to wing it.
Yeah, so I'm winging it. So my background is education and higher education. So I figured I would give a few predictions on that. So
sounds good.
For me, I think in the next 5 to 10 years, the way that students learn is going... This is...
It's okay. It doesn't have to be funny. It can be thought-provoking and smart.
Trust us, yeah. Tom and I are not funny, so no. This is all...
So I think the way that students are going to learn is going to be completely changed and revolutionized based off of the technologies that are starting to creep up even now today. So that's
do you have an example of a way in which technology is going to revolutionize? Because I could totally see where you're going with this, right? As we have so many computers in classes and faster internet and everything.
Well, even with colleges and universities, this is one of the topics that I talk with some of my colleagues about a lot. There's a number of websites like, I think it's the People University. It's a completely free university concept where it's more about anyone in the world can take college courses. They're not accredited yet, but they're striving towards that. There's also, I think, devices like TeacherMate, which allow students to interact with technology outside of the classroom. So this concept of just a single person teaching up at the front of the class and teaching to, you know, 30, 40 students, it's not really gelling so well.
I love this, by the way. As a father of three who are all going through different stages of education, I'm always kind of struck by the idea that we're always talking about how print media is changing and televised media is changing, and it's all being shifted around to be this new paradigm, and it's being driven by this uber connectivity that everything seems to have. And education seems like one of the things that gets left in the lurch. There's this tradition of the way we do secondary education or the way we do college level education, and it's always this with a big tuition.
There's so much history and tradition, and they're gonna have to change. I mean, it's when are they going to start changing, and who's going to be the first ones to make those moves? And I just am really eager to see how it all plays out.
You think it'll have to come from a big player, like somebody like Harvard's going to have to step up and go, this is the way of things, and you're going to be free thinking about it and move forward with it?
Well, colleges nowadays, they're starting to become all, like, for instance, who was it? Albert I can't remember the name of the college.
Albatross University.
Abilene, I think it was.
Abilene?
But they went completely digital, meaning they gave iPhones and iTouches to all of their staff. And then a lot of classes or a lot of schools are now giving the iPads. They're already saying, we're going to give all of the students iPads so that they can have their textbooks electronically and interact with the faculty electronically, and really pushing the wireless and digital aspects of technology within the classrooms.
I've heard criticisms of that sort of perspective, though, saying like, what we're doing is we're just throwing all this technology and we're actually distancing ourselves from the students, and we're not training people to use it properly, and we're not implementing it properly. I mean, what about that aspect? How do we make sure, as we get all of these great technologies, which sound wonderful, that we're making sure that people know how to use them and they're using them effectively, instead of just some bureaucrat sitting there like, oh, technology, that'll get me reelected. I'm just going to throw some money at
it. Well, and here's the interesting part. The kids already know how to use the technology. Mm-hmm. It's the adults that are having the problems. So I don't think it's necessarily that we have to teach the kids.
We just wait for the teachers to get old and retire. Is that what you're saying?
I think the teachers really have to make an effort to really learn and know how they can use this piece of technology in their classrooms.
But doesn't it just seem like it's a matter of time? I mean, as the kids become adults and the adults start working in the education, you know, arena, they start having these expectations of how they can communicate better with their students. You know, it may be just a matter of the old guard moving out and bringing in the new blood, you know, that will bring these ideas and bring them to fruition.
Well, even, and I think this was something that you talked about, Scott, even the concept of how classes are structured. So there was an article, I'm blanking on where I read it, but it basically was a professor that structured his class in the game, in a form of a game where they had experience points, and he saw a whole level grade higher. The average grade for that class was a C. But when he structured it in the concept of like XP and quests and things like that, where it really engaged the students to the kind of thinking that they normally think with games, they got averaged a B versus a C.
Yeah, Tom and I talked about that on Current Geek Weekly last week, that very concept of altering educational norms into something that's more akin to what people think of today, or some of the ways that kids think, or the way that young adults think about life. And a lot of that is driven by video games and social media and social interactivity through the internet. And I often agree with the short-term stuff that people bring here. This is one I really can get my head behind. And as I watch my own kids try to get through the school system, I just think a different way of thinking about it would really benefit them.
Well, and I think that the kids are, there's this, they call it a DIY kind of education. So they're already doing things that they're going to Wikipedia, they're going to these websites, they're using iPhone apps that teach them things. So they're already doing a lot of self-education. It's just, when will the schools get behind of realizing that they're doing this, and how can they kind of integrate that into the classroom? And I think we're on the cusp of it. I think in the next 5 to 10 to 20 years, we're probably going to see a lot of cool changes in schools, not just K through 12, but in colleges too, I think.
Wow. Excellent stuff. Thank you, Nicole, for not being funny. Actually, that is important sometimes. Sometimes I'm afraid, you know, we get a little flippant about the future. Yeah. And that's a hopeful, positive, wonderful thing to be talking about. Yeah, absolutely. and fits right in with our sponsor, actually, because one way you can educate yourself is reading. And this podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks. They have more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, not just books, but they've got audio versions of the New York Times, as well as New York Times bestsellers. You know they've got books, but they also have periodicals. And listeners of this podcast, Audible offers a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. One you might consider is, I'm going to throw out there a periodical. I'm going to say, check out the Technology Review from MIT. You can get a 1 month subscription, or you can get a 12 month subscription. But it's a great way to keep up on technology, and it's something you can actually listen to from audible.com. Do you guys have any books you want to throw out?
I can throw something out there. It's not relevant, and it's science fiction, because that's really all I read, because who wants to read about real life?
I do.
Just my opinion. I'm actually working through not only one of Scott's previous recommendations, Name of the Wind, but this is actually a relatively old science fiction series, the Sword of Truth series by Goodkind.
Oh, yeah.
I just finished Wizard's First Rule, and I'm into the second book. Great story, but I'm finding, like most audiobooks, it really depends on who's reading that sort of drives my active interest in the story. And unfortunately, the second guy is not quite as good as the first guy, but still a great book.
Sword of Truth? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Sword of Truth, and Wizard's First Rule is book one.
Ah, okay. Read by Sam Tsutsouvas.
Chuchubus.
Thank you.
Chuchubus is the only reason I remember it. So.
That's how you remember it. Yeah, totally. Well, that's another great recommendation. You can use either one by going to audiblepodcast.com/cast. That's audiblepodcast.com/cast, and you get a free book. Check it out. All right, let us turn to you, Mr. Spagnololo.
Close enough.
Spagnololo. I like it.
That was the spirit of Chuchubus inhabiting me. Short-term prediction. Now, next few years, you've got notes. What do you got to say?
Well, my notes aren't that good, but you guys know I'm a woodworker, right? So sure. It's only natural that I talk about biotech.
Only natural.
My prediction, and this may not be too far-fetched, obviously, the way things are going, but I think there's going to be a very strong turn to predictive medications instead of reactive treatments that we currently have. I think we're going to get much deeper into being able, and I've been watching a lot of V lately, so this is on my mind, being able to predict based on genetic predisposition for diseases and being able to tackle those things well before they happen. And I think when that does happen, it's going to be incredibly interesting to see how it works out, you know, as far as our society is concerned and how we, you know, relate to people and insurance and, you know, things along those lines and how this type of thing will affect that.
Current day V or old 80s V?
Current.
Okay, because old 80s V would make me wonder when we're going to start eating gerbils, because that's what all I remember.
That's my short-term prediction.
No, in the new one, they have these, like, cool little scanners where they just scan somebody's body and they can tell that, you know, someone's going to have an aneurysm, you know.
It's actually an important plot point, right? Because you're trying to decide, well, do I believe them? Because there's no actual evidence that anything is happening, but they're saying it's going to happen.
Yeah, so do you let them treat you or don't you? Yeah, it's an interesting plot point. But I think we're moving in that direction.
Predictive medicine as a preventative measure. If you went to a doctor and said, all right, let's say I'm 18. I'm 18 years old, doctor, but I'd really like to know within the next 5 years what I'm going to be dealing with. And he scans mm-hmm. it and says, well, it looks like you're going to have a mole on your back that's going to get bigger, start itching, bleeding, and you're going to have it burned off or else it's going to spread and you're going to have skin cancer.
Exactly.
That kind of stuff seems like a really great idea, but it also, how close is that to like the kind of weird Gattaca kind of way of thinking?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, Gattaca.
Well, I mean, it all comes down to gene therapy. You know, if they can find the faulty gene, they can detect it early enough, they can replace it, and it will never happen. You know, I mean, so it is very sci-fi.
I think we should probably say what your background is.
Woodworking.
Well, no. Before woodworking, honey.
Well, you guys probably know this.
Male stripper.
Yes, I work for the Chippendales. Chippendales. Have you heard of them?
That's how you got into
woodworking.
Most
people don't think I have the physique for it, but I do. I was in biotech, and my degree is in molecular biology, and that's what I was doing before I decided to be a woodworker. So it's still something I kind of try to follow a little bit, but I certainly have forgotten much more than I remember from school, unfortunately.
That's epic. I had no idea that was true of you.
That's pretty awesome.
You didn't know that? Okay. Well, now you do.
Yeah.
Well, just throwing out all this science, and it's like, this woodworker. And then, of course, you know, me, I'm the video game movie girl, and I'm talking about higher education.
See, but that's what I love about this podcast is you find out so many things that are people's little areas of hobby expertise that you
Oh, no,
you would
that's
never,
my real job yeah. is higher education.
Well, and I know that's true in your case, but people who listen to Ladies and Lead or the movie Licious, they might not know that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's true.
I have no idea. But it also brings the notion of a bio scientist brings that down to my level a little bit.
because, you know, that's beyond anything I have any kind of really solid understanding about. But that kind of stuff blows my mind. And I'm guessing it gives you a perspective that you like that's something that helps you with stuff, I'm guessing.
Yeah, in a way, yeah. I mean, the more I get away from it, the more I feel, I almost feel guilty, you know, because I went to school for quite a while to learn that stuff and work my butt off in school to understand it and to do it in the lab. And then I walk away from it, you know, so I wind up forgetting a lot of it because it's like anything else. You don't use the information and you don't stay current. You're going to start to forget this stuff. But, you know, for the most part, it is nice because I can tell Nicole, you know, certain gross things about foods we eat and things going on in her body and little trivia things that are just fun to tell.
It's wonderful to have a scientist as a husband. But you'll pick it up if you watch any of the Wood Whisperer videos. You'll pick up some of the science. So he'll talk about how what was it, the finish absorbing
wood movement. You know, the physical properties of the wood, and also finishing has a lot of, you know, chemistry attached to it. So it, I think it helps me a little bit in those areas just to understand some of the bigger picture concepts, and then be able to relay those to folks who don't have any sort of scientific background is, you know, something that I like to do.
So you could make a coffee table and then clone my dog. I like those things.
Perhaps.
And then splice your dog into a coffee table.
Whoa.
Now that would be something.
That's something from one of the Dune books, is they have these chairs that are actually living. They're made of dogs, and they adjust to you when you sit on them.
Dune? I don't remember that.
It's not Dune, the first book. It's like the last one. I think it's Chapter House Dune.
Whoa.
That's just weird.
Yeah.
One of they asked what's his name to make that first movie. They figured they'd eventually get to making dogs into wood, and that was right up his alley.
Yeah.
Well, then I have a question for you guys or anyone who wants to answer it. If you found out that, you know, let's say you were predisposed to a certain type of cancer 15 years from now, would you undergo an experimental treatment to do some, you know, gene therapy and swap some bad genes out for good ones?
Well, that's a good question, because there's a lot of ethical discussion going on right now about how to relay this kind of genetic information. Who should be allowed to do the testing? Because there's all these companies springing up all over the place that say that they can do it for you. Who's responsible enough to handle it? And what do you want to know about and what don't you, right? Because what if they find out, okay, there's a genetic marker for this incurable disease, right? There's no way we can treat you for it. Do you want to know or not?
Yeah. Well, I think you can do that with breast cancer. In fact, I know I've read articles about women who have gotten tested, and they're in their 20s, and if they have a certain gene, they have a disposition for breast cancer, and some of them have mastectomies even before they have breast cancer.
Well, and that just seems like, well, you know, okay, it seems like a high odd that you're going to get it, and you don't want to, in some case, wait until you get it.
Right.
Yeah.
But at the same time, what if the test, you know, what if you were in the low percentile, the 2% who wouldn't have gotten it for whatever environmental reason or chance or whatever?
Right. All right. Or like you said, the tough decision of what if it's something that regardless of the technology, they can't do anything about. Do you want to know when you're going to die?
Right.
I think
that's if they could tell us when it was going to happen. Like if they say roughly 10 years out, that's one thing. But if they can say, you know, June of 2020.
Yeah, right.
Give me a 30-day window. I wouldn't get that, you know, mastectomy or whatever you call it. Is that
right? It's for the boobs.
Yeah, for my man boobs that I'm going to have the trouble with.
You might want to get that taken care of.
Yeah, I don't want to do that now. In other words, if I was a woman, I wouldn't want to chop that off at age 20 and just, you know, I'd like to know, because you may have a tendency with that gene, but it doesn't guarantee you're going to have it.
Yeah,
but it just means you've got a higher percentage, and maybe that's only 2 or 3%, or who knows what it is. But I hope if that sort of thing continues, that they can refine that and give people a better target date.
To answer your question, Mark, though, I would want to know. In all the cases we've talked about, I would want to. I would rather have the information, because even if it is incurable, you know, I can start working on it now and look at, like, you know, experimental stuff, or start donating heavily to the agency that's working on curing it. You know,
maybe behavioral changes.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. Try to minimize
the risk. Could change the direction of things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Scary stuff.
Yeah. All right. Well, good. We have hope and fear all in one episode.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's fantastic. Thank you.
It's the kids today that are going to help you with the gene therapy later.
They're going to help you figure out what day you're going to die once they all get so smart. That's awesome. All right. Don't forget, folks, the Wood Whisperer podcast that Mark has mentioned a couple times here is available. Tell folks where they can find it, Mark.
That's at thewoodwhisperer.com.
And Ladies of Leet and the Movielicious, Nicole?
Yep. You can find them at ladiesofelite.com and TheMovieLicious.
And, of course, on Twitter, you can follow Mark at Wood Whisperer, right?
Correct, yep.
And Nicole Spag on Twitter. And, Scott, you're at Extra Life.
Oh, man, am I ever. MyExtraLife.com. You can also find me at FrogPants.com. By the way, Nicole's two shows that she's a part of are now part of the Frog Pants Network. Have them there. So Ladies of Leet and Movielicious are
one. You can find me over at Frog Pants now.
One big frog.
One frog, two holes for your legs, you're set.
That's a big set of pants that frog's wearing.
Yeah.
And I feel now, Nicole made me feel bad. I need to plug FilmSack for you because, you know.
Yeah, FilmSack. I look for it every Friday. We got some great stuff happening there. And if you like cheesy, bad 80s movies, then by gum, that show's for you.
Don't forget to leave comments at our website, forecastpodcast.com, or send us an email. Drop us a line. Let us know what you think. forecastpodcast@gmail.com. For me, for Scott, for the Spags. See you next time. Bye.
But it's only 32 years away.